My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, a teenager was bitten by a spider. In the days that followed, he noticed that there were some symptoms to his spider bites. He could start to sense things before they started to happen. He could start climbing walls that no one should be able to climb. He developed a way to sling web out of his hands. We know this teenager as Spider-Man. And as Spider-Man developed the use of his power, if you've seen the movies or if you've read any of the comic books, you know that he struggles with the right way to use his power. He spends some time trying to make a name for himself, trying to make a couple extra bucks, and he puts his uncle in a rather unenviable position. He tries to help people, and yet in his naivety, he doesn't realize that if he helps the people over there, that it has a consequence, it has an effect on the people over here. And as he starts to discover that one action with his power affects other people he wasn't intending to, well, then he starts to become a little ashamed of his power, and he tries to set his power aside, and then something happens in the plot, and he has to pull out his power again and start to use it, this time with a little more wisdom. You and I do not have any powers like Spider-Man does, or if you do, you haven't told me yet. Yet the idea of having that kind of power is one that from time to time will come in and sit on our mind. There's a certain allure to having a power like Spider-Man. Sometimes that allure comes when we want to do something that we're not able to do, and we think, well, if I have that power, then I'll be able to do it. Then no one will be able to tell me no. Sometimes we sit there and we see all the wrongs that we perceive happening in the world, and we sit there and say, well, if I had power like that, I'd be able to take care of those wrongs. I'd be able to help those people that were struggling. And sometimes we find ourselves sitting there and saying, well, if I had that kind of power, then I would be in control. And then I would know things are done the right way. And then I know that everything would work out. And yet we don't have that power. And perhaps it's a benefit that we don't have that power. And so what do? We do the next best thing. We look for someone that has some of that power that we wish that we had had, and if we see them and we see their power, then we start to follow them, and we hope that the benefits of their power will trickle down to us. Well, we definitely don't have any superpower of our own, and yet we follow someone who does have power. We follow a triune God who spoke the worlds into existence. We have an almighty God to whom belongs all power and authority and dominion. We follow after a God who placed a line and set the foundation of the world to that line. We have a God who takes the rain clouds and he causes those rain clouds to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. We have a God, a powerful God, who controls nature, who creates, who preserves, who protects. And yet we also look at this God who has all this power, and we see a God who speaks a gentle whisper. And in this gentle whisper, we find a power that is more powerful than anything he does to control the oceans or the rains or the clouds. For that gentle whisper is the gospel of Jesus, and it proclaims a power that saves. And as you listen to these two words that God speaks, the word that causes a world to come into an existence, and a gentle whisper, sometimes it's easy to sit there and compare them. Because it would be nice at times to have that kind of power, wouldn't it? The power that creates, the power that preserves, the power that protects. And when we look at that other whisper that God speaks, the power of the gospel, sometimes it seems like that whisper is so quiet, that it can't be heard over the din of the world that surrounds it. But we learn that the gospel is the power of God. And when we talk about it being the power of God, it's not like it's a stick of dynamite that's sitting right here that has the potential to be powerful. If I light the dynamite, you're going to see power. It's not that kind of power at all. It's a raw power. It's a power that's active and being used. It is a power that builds up instead of tears down. It is a power that creates instead of destroy. It is a power that results in life instead of death. We see God use this power constantly as he saves sinners. And God takes this power that he has, he takes this gentle whisper of the gospel, and he gives it to you. So that, well, you don't have any superpower of your own. You can't sit there and say, I'm in control of anything. God hands his gospel to you. And you grasp on to that gospel, and God says, you're saved now. And not only are you saved now, but now as you repeat that whisper of the gospel to the people around you, you start to see how the power of that gentle whisper. As you speak and whisper words that restore the person you're speaking to. As you see a new spirit that's created in them. As you see a life that lives in them that didn't live there before. The Apostle Paul saw this power, and he saw this power at work as he carried out his mission work to Jews and Gentiles alike. He would witness as he spoke to them how suddenly their eyes would light up, and they would start to understand that this Savior that Paul was talking about, this good news that Paul was talking about, wasn't just some idea floating around, but it was for them, and it belonged to them. And because Paul understood the power of this gentle whisper, as he went to Jew and Gentile, as he saw the way this power was at work creating new life in them, the way he saw their eyes light up as they understood, yes, I am saved as well, he loudly announces, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And those are great words, aren't they? And not just because they're God's words. As Lutherans, we've taken those same words and we've made them our own. I am not ashamed of the gospel. And so we talk about this gospel of God, and we encourage one another to go up to the rooftops, to announce it to the world, to proclaim to everyone what God has done through his Son, that God has saved you. And so as children of God, as Lutherans, as people sitting here, we come here and we shout, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And yet how often do we take that gospel we're not ashamed of and close our mouths so that as we whisper those words, it doesn't sound like anything's coming out of our mouth at all. Because if someone hears the words coming out of our mouths, they might hear us and believe us. I am not ashamed of the gospel. And yet how often do we take the trust we have in that gospel message and we put it up our sleeves and hide it in our sleeves as we go about our day, afraid that someone might see the trust that we have in our Savior? I am not ashamed of the gospel. But how can I take the gospel to that person over there? Have you seen the crimes that they've committed? How can I take the gospel to those people over there? They don't seem to be showing very much mercy. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God to save. And yet, how often do I sit there and say, but I don't want to take this power over there, or I don't think these people are worthy of that power, or I don't think I'm the one that should be proclaiming this power. Let someone else do it. But God takes the time to show us that his power is revealed in the gospel as he gives us this good news. And as we proclaim this good news, and as we do so, we discover that even though God gives us his gospel, which is that power to save, it's not us that is causing that power. It's not me sitting there and saying, well, these people deserve the gospel and those people don't. That's God who's saying his gospel is going to go to these people and those people. I'm not ashamed of the gospel as I wear it on my sleeve instead of under my sleeve, because I've seen the power of that gospel in my own lives. And how God is using that power in me, and how God can use that same power in someone else. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel proclaims the righteousness of God, and that righteousness of God is found in Christ. And there we see God's power at work. Because in Christ, God himself takes on flesh and blood and is born of a virgin. In Christ, the creator of the world submits to the laws that he put his world under. In Christ, we find perfect obedience at work, because Christ was without sin. In Christ, we find that atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world, because the world did not have the power to atone for itself. And by God and his power, he takes Christ's perfect life, and he takes Christ's atoning sacrifice, and he places it on you, and he says, this belongs to you. This is the power of God at work in you. He takes you who are dead in your sins and makes you alive in Christ. He takes you who are wearing the filthy clothes of your shame, and he dresses you in the wedding clothes of the Lamb. He draws you to himself. He gives you faith in his name. He leads you to believe that little whisper that pierces even the loudest din that surrounds you. And God, by his power, makes you righteous through the power of his cross. This is the power of God that the Apostle Paul is not ashamed of. This is the gospel that you are not ashamed of, because the gospel draws your eyes to Christ. And the gospel shows you how Christ saves you. And the gospel shows you that you don't have to worry about who is worthy or who is not worthy to receive that news. Because through the gospel, you see that it's for both Jew and Gentile. You see that it's both for the vilest of sinners and the secret sinners. You see that it's even for you. Now, as someone who has received that power of God, that now affects the way that we look at things. And if we talk about God's power, the gospel being God's power, and our desire to have a superpower or a secret power, maybe this is where we see the secret power that God gives us. Because having been saved by him, having seen the power of God in our own lives, we now have the opportunity to live by faith. And as we live by faith, we see what only the gospel can reveal to us. Through faith, we see that we are wearing the robes of Christ. And not only are we wearing the robes of Christ, but we see the people around us who wear those same robes. Through faith, we see how we rely on the forgiveness that God has given us. And because we rely on that forgiveness, we can see how the people around us need to hear that forgiveness and rely on that forgiveness as well. Through faith, we sit there and see our reliance on Jesus, and that motivates us then to speak in those quiet whispers, to find those times as we're sitting by the backyard fire pits to talk to our neighbor and explain to our neighbor why we think it's so important that we go to church the next day and why it's so important that we worship our Lord. And as you hold on to that quiet whisper, it gives you an opportunity as you sit in the bleachers during basketball season to talk to the person next to you who's going through a hard time and telling them how through Christ God gives you the power that you need and the comfort that you need through to work through your difficult times. By faith, you see that you being saved doesn't depend on you at all. But God's power is found in Christ. And as you look to Christ and as you belong to Christ, you reveal God's power in all its glory. There may be times that we wish we had a superpower. There may be times that we wish that we were in control. There may be times that we wish that we could fix all the wrongs in the world. The thing is, we don't need that, because God has already revealed a power that does that. He already reveals his gospel. He already reveals his power to save us. And this is the power that Paul proclaims to you as he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Amen.